Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Exodus chapter 3. And verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and of Jacob hath appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I have the first section as verses 1 through 6. The first thing I want you to notice about Moses is that he was no idler. He was a working man. He was keeping the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law. So he went from the royal palace of Egypt to keeping sheep for Jethro. Yet he found in that meaningful labor. Beloved, labor is a gift from God. Moses partook of that gift. He is a good example to us in that. And anyone that tells you otherwise is seeking to harm you, not help you, including our own government. We talk about the symbol of a burning bush for a moment. I am hustling. I don't want to encroach on Mr. Suarez's time. We talk about the symbol of a burning bush yet not consumed. And by most commentators, it is held to be a twofold sign. The fire is a symbol of God himself in the midst of a bush. Notice it is not a cedar. It is not a towering plant. It is a bush, a shrub. Why a shrub? Because the shrub represents the people of God in their declined and persecuted estate. Yet God reveals himself in a flame of fire in the midst of his people. He is burning and they are not consumed. Rather, he is burning and they are preserved. And so several of the Scottish churches have taken on the symbol of the burning bush as the symbol of their own church, right? And they have that "Nec tamen consumebatur" as the caption of that, burning yet not consumed. The Scottish churches have often thought of themselves as that poor and afflicted people of God with God burning in their midst. May I say, they don't have a lock on that identification, right? We understand that. Notice how the Lord introduces himself. First of all, before that, notice that Moses sees that bush and turns aside. Beloved, labor is good, but it is not all-consuming. Moses turned aside from keeping his flock to see this great thing that God had wrought before him to see, that there was a bush that burned and was not consumed. And so labor is good, but it cannot consume all of our time. We must have time to appreciate the mighty signs and wonders that God has done. So then Moses does turn aside, and notice who it is that Moses approaches. What we hear is, "Take off your shoes. The place whereon thou standest is holy, and don't you dare come near." Did you hear that? Don't come near here. Don't get too close. The place whereon thou standest is holy. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And beside the obvious continuity that is there from Exodus to Genesis in that statement, still also there is great reverence. Whatever God said and however he said it, Moses responds by hiding his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now we will notice throughout the life of Moses that he comes to a place in his spiritual walk where he says, "Show me thy glory." But not today. Not today. Today Moses is indeed overwhelmed with the glory of God, his majesty. Who is it that we approach, beloved? Let's make that use, right? Who do we approach? That same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who said to Moses, "Take off your shoes. Show me some reverence." The God who said, "Don't draw too near. Remember, I'm a consuming fire." Yet, my beloved are not consumed. It's wonderful things to meditate on out of Exodus 3. Great passage. All right, so then also in verses 7 through 10 in the second section, the Lord says, "I have surely seen seeing I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Don't think the Lord has forsaken you because you are afflicted. Don't think that your afflictions are greater than everyone else's to the point that what? Oh, the Lord has certainly treated me differently than everyone else. The Israelites would have been sinning had they thought that way. The Lord says, I have seen their affliction. That affliction I have sent, I have made use of. They are now ready, is the way it reads a little bit later. They will hearken unto you to come out of Egypt. They may not have been so willing 100 years ago, but now they are. The afflictions have turned their eyes upward toward God for deliverance. Beloved, make that use of your own afflictions. So then, the promise of the Lord, this is the promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 15, 12 through 16. He predicted this very moment in history. He said, your descendants will serve another nation for 400 years, and they will treat them hard, and yet I will rise up and deliver you out of their hand. This is that day, Moses, that I spoke to Abraham back in Genesis 15. Now, Moses may not have known chapter breaks like we know them, but I'm convinced that he knew Genesis. He's the one eventually who will write it. So, in verses 11 through 15, we have Moses' complaint, Moses' remonstrance, if you will. He remembers the last time he was in Egypt. He wasn't particularly liked by his own people, nor by the Egyptians. You want me to go back there? I'm not a real popular guy in Egypt. Not really popular. My own people despised me, and Pharaoh sought to kill me. And so Moses remonstrates with God. He complains, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? The Lord answers in a couple of different ways. The first answer is, he says, you're the man of my choosing. That's who you are. You're the one I've chosen. And because I've chosen you, I will be with you. And so notice that the gifts and callings of God, they are not without God's support and supply. The Lord does not leave us to function apart from his strength, apart from his abiding presence. This is the wonderful word of Christ to his own disciples at the end of his earthly ministry, just before he ascended. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. You think discipling the nations is a big task? You're right, it is. But I won't leave you alone in doing that. I will send my Spirit, and he will usher to your present minds my own presence. I'm with you always in him. And so, yes, you will succeed. Moses, you will succeed. I will be with you. Beloved, these words ought to ring down in our own minds today. What has the Lord called you to do? Be a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a child, one who works outside the home, inside the home. You know, all of those things. Whatever God has called you to do, as long as it is good and lawful work, what has God said to you? I will be with you. Well, don't forget that. And then we have this wonderful passage of God revealing himself as the eternal, covenant-keeping, promise-honoring God in his own name. What is your name? What is the name that I will tell them of this God? I am that I am. Ehyeh ve'ehyeh is how it reads in the Hebrew. In the translation of the 70, it reads, Ego emi ha'on. I am the being. I'm the living one. And the Lord will continue to identify himself as this way throughout Scripture. As a matter of fact, it says right over here in verse 18, this is what you're going to say to the king of Egypt. The Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God of the Hebrews, the I am God, has said, let my people go, that they may serve me. Israel is my firstborn. Let him go. Right? So God reveals himself then as the ever-living, promise-honoring, covenant-keeping God who remembers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was their God. He made them and their descendants promises. Those promises don't change because we change, because the race changes. Beloved, this is the God we worship. So that's what you'll say. You'll say to them, I am. But you'll also say to them, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, I am that transcendent one that is over all the worlds, but I am also the God who was intimate with your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the immanent God, and I am the transcendent God. This is who I am. What a comfort that must have been. And so, you remember how Moses wrote in Genesis, chapter maybe 47, 46, where he said, go, gather, Joseph said, go, gather my father and all your household and bring them. Now notice what it says here. Moses in that same style, speaking as God speaks to him, go, gather the elders of Israel and tell them that the time of their deliverance has come. What a comforting word. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me. I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction. They will hearken, Moses. They shall hearken to thy voice. The implication of that passage is the time is right. Now is that time. They will hearken, Moses. They will hear. And then finally, we have in verses 19 through the end, this wonderful and comforting statement that they will go. I know that he won't let you go, not even if it were by a mighty hand. And I think what the Lord means there is what Pharaoh had said earlier, what Moses recorded for us. Up now, let us enslave them, lest we are invaded by a mighty force and they join in with them for their liberation. Pharaoh wouldn't let you go even if a mighty hand from this world came and rose up against Egypt to liberate the Israelites. But under my hand, he will. I will bring all my wonders upon Egypt. May I say it this way? God says, I will spare no effort for their removal out of bondage. We already knew that, didn't we? Because he who spared not his own son, will he not also with Christ freely give us all things? This is what's echoed forth here in Exodus chapter 3. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.